And what this talk is about is generalized Clifford algebras and some of their properties, and especially some properties of their representations. Now, most of you might be comfortable or familiar with the classical case where you had the Clifford algebra of a quadratic form. So in that case, you can assume that the base field K has characteristic different from 2. And if I'm going to make some assumptions about the base field, and if all this stuff is making you uncomfortable, you can just assume that everything is done over the complex numbers. No important detail is missed by doing so. So you have a quadratic space, a finite dimensional vector space with a quadratic form Q on it. You can define the Clifford algebra of this setup. So how it's defined is you take the tensor algebra of the vector space V, and you divide it by the two-sided ideal that is generated by elements of this form, x tensor x minus qx times 1 for x in V. So in other words, it's the freest algebra, in a sense, generated by elements of V and satisfying the relation that x squared is equal to qx. This is the classical definition. Now, if we move on to the generalized case, first I'll start with discussing binary forms because most of the results are in this case. For ternary forms, there are some very limited results that I'll talk about at the end. And for higher variable forms, there's nothing at all. So I'm taking a binary form of degree D, FUV. And for technical reasons that will become apparent later, I'm assuming that this is non-degenerate. It has no repeated factors. Again, you can ignore the part about the algebraic closure of K. And again, ignore the assumption that characteristic of K not divide D. So with this information, you can define the generalized Clifford algebra CF in much the same manner as before. You define it to be the K algebra KUV. Here, KUV is the free associative algebra generated by U and V. And I is the two-sided ideal, again, generated by elements of the form alpha U plus beta V to D minus F alpha V with alpha and beta elements in the base field K. It only takes a second of work to see that this is actually equivalent to the definition in the previous page. Okay, so when I say representation of the Clifford algebra, what do I mean? This is a K-algebra homomorphism from CF into a matrix algebra where L is a field extension of K. Again, this is a detail that's mostly unnecessary. You can assume that that L is equal to the complex numbers again. So you have a homomorphism, an algebra homomorphism from the Clifford algebra into the matrix algebra over the complex numbers. And that's a typo, that should be M. This is called the dimension of the representation. And you call the representation irreducible if, again, you can ignore this, if phi is surjective in that case. So, again, just remember that this phi is from CF into MM of C, of the base field. Okay, so we're back to the classical case again. And in this case, let's just assume that dimension of V is equal to N. Then it can be shown that the dimension of the Clifford algebra is a vector space over the complex numbers is 2 to the N. So there always exists a finite dimensional representation of CF. You basically take the action of CF on itself, and it gives you a representation. It gives you an algebra homomorphism from CF into the linear endomorphisms of CF. Now, when the degree is at least 3, when you're in the higher degree case, this doesn't work because it has been proven that the CF is an infinite dimensional vector space. So the above argument does not work. So what else do we know about the representations? The dimension of a representation is always divisible by the degree of the form that you started with. This is actually quite an interesting result because it's not something that you expect. But if you take a degree D form, then the dimension of a representation is always divisible by D. And Childs also proved that in the same paper where he proved that CF is infinite dimensional, actually, CF is always a representation of the lowest possible dimension D. Okay. This is a bit of a technical definition. It's going to come in later a few times, so I want to go over this quickly. If you have a commutative ring with identity R, then an Azumaya algebra over this R is an R algebra A that is a faithful projective R module of finite rank, such that the canonical map from A tensor, this is the opposite of A, where the multiplication is defined by reversing the orders, into the endomorphism ring of A as an R module, the canonical map is given by A tensor A prime, goes to the endomorphism that takes X to A X A prime, is an isomorphism. This may look like a technical definition, but it really is a way of generalizing central simple algebras. Because if the base ring R is a field, then the two definitions are equivalent. And as an example of a central simple algebra, you can just consider the ring of quaternions over R. Right? It can be shown that when you tensor this with C, you get the matrix ring back. And in fact, that's a better definition of Azumaya algebra than the one I gave before. As I write on the top here, another way to define an Azumaya algebra is an R algebra A, such that you can extend the base ring, so that when you extend the base, when you extend scalars, A becomes isomorphic to the matrix ring. That's a better definition to remember. Okay. So I'll go over describing some of the known results in this case. The first case, obviously, is D is equal to 3. In that case, you can prove that CF is Azumaya over its center. It's not mentioned here, but the rank is also 18. So CF is Azumaya over its center. So X is the projective plane curve defined by the equation W cubed equals FUV. And in the general case, the equation will look like W to D equals FUV. You take that as a projective plane curve, and the assumption about non-degeneracy that I made at the beginning, that F is non-degenerate, implies that this X is a smooth curve. E is the Jacobian of X. Again, if you make the assumption that the base field is the complex numbers, this becomes unnecessary because they are isomorphic in this case. E is an elliptic curve. Okay, now, excuse me. The center of CF in that case is also described. It is the affine coordinate ring of E minus the identity point. Again, E minus the identity point is an affine. It's an affine curve, and its coordinate ring is the center of the Clifford algebra CF. And he also proved that the dimension 3 representations of CF are in one-to-one correspondence with the points of E minus the identity point. So the problem that I mentioned earlier, that in the higher degree case, there's no obvious explanation of whether the representations of the Clifford algebra exist. In this case, they exist, and there's plenty of them, right? They're in one-to-one correspondence with the points of a curve minus one point. Excuse me. I need to mention one more thing. When I say representations of CF, I mean equivalence classes of representations of CF. So if you have one representation, and if you take an automorphism of the matrix algebra over C, you can compose these two, and it gives you another representation. But you take these two representations to be equivalent. You take them to be the same. Okay, so what's next? In the higher degree case, you can define X to be the projective plane curve, W to D equals FUV, as I mentioned a second earlier. Let G be the genus of this curve. Okay. Now, there's a one-to-one correspondence between, again, equivalence classes of RD dimensional representations of CF, and we already know that the dimensions are divisible by D, and certain vector bundles on X. Now, I want to describe what those certain vector bundles are. They are vector bundles E on X such that pi lower star e is trivial of rank rd, where pi x to p1, the projective line, is the map that takes uvw to uv. So in other words, it's a projection. And the vector bundles that we are talking about is the ones whose push forwards under this map are trivial of rank rd. Again, it's not mentioned there, but E has to have rank R. We will call these Clifford bundles. I use this terminology a lot, so I had to introduce this here. There's another way to describe these vector bundles. You can describe them as rank R vector bundles that have degree R times D plus G minus 1. Remember that D is the degree of the form you start with, over X, such that the minus 1 twist of this vector bundle has no global sections. And when I say minus 1 twist, it is always with respect to the inclusion of X into P2. These bundles are all semi-stable vector bundles. Do I need to review semi-stable and stable? Okay. These bundles are all semi-stable, and the stable ones are the ones that correspond to irreducible representations. So this is the crucial result here. It says that these vector bundles are all semi-stable, the ones corresponding to equivalence classes of representations of CF, and the stable ones correspond to the irreducible representations. Okay, here's a quick example of this. So again, I'm assuming that the base field is the complex numbers, and you have two variables, and the degree is two. In this case, you can show that CF is isomorphic to the matrix ring over C, the matrix algebra over C. So up to equivalence, there can be only one irreducible representation. And this representation has dimension two because it's basically the map is the identity map. So if CF is isomorphic to M2C, you can take the identity map, and up to equivalence, it's the only irreducible representation there is. Okay, so by the correspondence, we must demonstrate a unique line bundle L on the curve X, and since the dimension of the representation is 2, the corresponding vector bundle has to have rank 1 on the curve X of degree D plus G minus 1, and such that H0 of L minus 1 is equal to 0. So D is 2 here. This X is a plane conic, so genus is 0, so the degree should be 1. X is isomorphic to the projective line, so the genus is 0. And L must have degree 1. And there's only one line bundle on X with this property. And to check that, the last condition, H0 of L minus 1 equals 0, you have to remember that X is embedded as a conic in P2. So this minus 1 really reduces the degree of the line bundle by 2. So L minus 1 has degree negative 1, and its H0 will then be 0. So this is an explicit example. The representation is given by the identity map of the matrix algebra, and the corresponding vector bundle is the unique line bundle on the projective line of degree 1. Okay. Here's a quick outline of this correspondence. If you start with a representation, CF to MRD of K, you can take the images of the generators U and V and denote them by alpha U and alpha V. You get 2RD by RD matrices. You can use these to define a graded ring homomorphism from S, which is KUVW divided by the ideal generated by W to D minus FUV, to MRD of over the ring KUV, the polynomial ring in U and V, by taking U and V to U times the identity and V times the identity, and W to U times alpha U plus V times alpha V. Okay, so what this does is this makes this direct sum of RD copies of KUV, the polynomial ring in U and V into a graded S module. And this way you get a coherent sheaf on this curve X, which was the projective spectrum of this S, such that pi lower star van tilde is the trivial vector bundle on P1 of rank RD. Okay, now here are some other results in the higher degree cases. Now I'm assuming that the degree is greater than 3. In this case, you have to make a small modification. You take the Clifford algebra CF and divide it by the intersection of all these I's, where I runs over the kernels of all the d-dimensional representations, and this doesn't hurt because every representation is going to factor through one of these. Excuse me, it's going to factor through the CF tilde. In that case, CF tilde is a Zumayo of rank d squared over its center, and the center is reduced. And again, there's a description of this center. So X is the curve defined by W to D equals FUV. Now, what we want to do in this case is we want to consider a subset of this Picard variety of X of degree D plus G minus 1, and we want to remove it. So you can take the morphism from the G minus 1-fold symmetric product of X into the corresponding Picard variety that takes a collection of G minus 1 points to their sum as a divisor. If you compose this with the morphism from pick G minus 1 to pick D plus G minus 1, given by tensoring with OX1, this gives us a map whose scheme theoretic image is the so-called theta divisor. Basically, you have this Picard variety of line bundles of degree D plus G minus 1, and you have this so-called theta divisor in it, and if you remove this divisor, you get an affine open subset because it can be proven that the theta divisor is ample. So its complement is affine, and its affine coordinate ring is the center of CF tilde. And again, it's not written here, but the complement of this theta divisor describes exactly the vector bundles I described before, the line bundles of degree D plus G minus 1 such that the minus 1 twist has 0 global sections. Okay, so the next step is to be interested in RD dimensionally reducible representations. Now, in this case, if you consider the RD dimensionally reducible representations, if we go back to that classification, okay, these correspond to rank R and degree R times D plus G minus 1 vector bundles over X, such that H0 of X comma E minus 1 is equal to 0. And since we are interested in irreducible representations, you also have to assume that these bundles are stable. So when you go back to that moduli space, of stable vector bundles of the given rank and degree over X, the additional condition that the minus 1 twist E minus 1 has to have 0 global sections, what you are doing is you are, again, removing a divisor from this moduli space. So you have an open subset U of this moduli space M. Okay. This definition, again, this is kind of a technical definition, and it's only going to be important in the theorem that I'm going to cite later. Basically, what this definition is a family of representations parameterized by a base scheme S. So if you have a scheme S, then an S representation is a pair where you are taking a sheaf of a Zumaya algebras over this scheme, and a morphism from, this should be CF, to the global sections of this sheaf. You call two representations equivalent if there's an isomorphism between the two sheaves of Zumayo algebras OA1 and OA2, such that phi2 is theta composed with phi1, And you call this representation irreducible if the image generates away locally. So again, you can think of this as a family of representations parameterized by S. In general, if you have families of any kinds of objects, you can talk about defining a functor based on those, and you can consider its representability. So again, you can define a functor, rep rd of cf, whose value at S is the set of equivalence classes of irreducible S representations of dimension rd. So it gives you a contravariant functor from the category of K schemes to the category of sets. And it's natural to ask if this is representable. It already was proven by Processi that this was representable by a scheme. Later on, we proved that this was actually represented by that open subset of the moduli space I mentioned earlier. So you take the moduli space and you remove the vector bundles whose minus one twists have global sections. Okay, in other words, there is an irreducible U representation such that given any other irreducible S representation, you have a unique morphism from S to U such that this other representation that you pick, psi OA, is the pullback of the universal representation. Okay, this, so far what I've described is the binary case where you have two variables. As I said before, in the higher variable case, there are very limited results, and this research is still ongoing. And the results that I'm going to talk about now are joint work with Rajesh Kulkarni and Yusuf Mustopa. So now you have a ternary form, FUV, and the lowest degree case is degree 3. So you have a cubic. You can define a cubic surface this time, X sitting inside P3, by a similar equation, z cubed equals fuvw, and you assume f to be such that this is non-singular. Then we can prove that irreducible representations of CF, the Clifford algebra, of dimension 3R, correspond to stable ACM bundles E over X of rank R with Hilbert polynomial equal to this formula, 3R times n plus 2 n plus 1 over 2. Now, stable here is defined using the reduced Hilbert polynomial. So if I have a vector bundle E, I call this stable if whenever you take any proper non-trivial subbundle, its reduced Hilbert polynomial is strictly less than the reduced Hilbert polynomial, this is R, of E. And when you are comparing Hilbert polynomials, you can compare them using the lexicographic order on the coefficients, or which one eventually becomes larger later. The two are the same. Now, this other condition that I mentioned, the ACM condition, is a cohomological restriction on this vector bundle E. It means that for a vector bundle E over this cubic surface X, H1 of all the twists of E by the hyperplane, multiples of the hyperplane section, have zero first cohomology. Okay, so I can maybe describe some known examples of this. In the rank 1 case, corresponding to dimension 3 representations, there are actually a finite number, 72 isomorphism classes of line bundles satisfying this property. So in terms of the Clifford algebra, what that is going to mean is that there are going to be 72 equivalence classes of dimension 3 representations. And these correspond to the twisted cubics T on the surface X. So we are talking about smooth degree 3 curves of genus 0. In the rank 2 case, these are distinguished by their first churn classes. And in the case of Clifford bundles, when I describe the first churn classes, these automatically describe the second churn numbers also. So I'm going to ignore that part. The first churn classes can be 2 times the hyperplane section, the hyperplane section plus one of the twisted cubics T, or H plus C plus L. So the hyperplane section plus a conic plus one of the 27 lines on the cubic surface, where you have to assume that C dot L is zero. And there are 172 for H plus T and 270 possible values for H plus C plus L. Here, L stands for one of the lines and C stands for a conic. And in rank 2 case, this is a complete classification, which means that if I give you a rank 2 Clifford bundle, its first churn class has to be one of these. And it's not, again, it's not mentioned here, but there are the dimension of these families are also known. So if the first churn class is 2H, there's a unique connected family of dimension 5. If it is H plus T, there are 72 connected families of dimension 3. If the first churn class is H plus C plus L, then the dimensions are all 1, and there are 270 of those. In higher rank case, there's only one case that we know about, R times the hyperplane section, which also contains one example in rank 2, in which case there's a connected family of Clifford bundles of dimension R squared plus 1, and these are stable Clifford bundles, by the way, and the classification is not complete in this case, so there's still work to be done in this case, and we are trying to construct new Clifford bundles of different C1. Okay, and this is the end of this talk, so thank you. Is there a similar story for which algebra? I made no assumptions about the symmetricness of the form. So it can be symmetric or not. Nothing that we know of. To be honest, we never thought about it. Because, as I said, right now we are trying to construct new bundles of rank R. And I don't know if there are any groups sitting inside that. High rank bundles on... As I said, we've been different people have been studying this for the binary case, and the next logical case to think about is the ternary case. And the lowest degree is 3. So you take a ternary cubic form, you already have a description of Clifford bundles on the surface X. Their push forwards have to be trivial of rank 3R. Right? So we are basically trying to find out if they exist and how to describe them. So I already described the equivalent conditions. They are stable ACM bundles having this given Hilbert polynomial, but the existence question is, it's different. Right, so that's what initially motivated us. I mean, the existence question is non-trivial. So we want to know if they exist, and if they do exist, then what is their first churn class, and what is the dimension of the corresponding family?